Amen. Well, turn to the book of Hebrews tonight. I want to preach about faith. The great chapter of 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As we think about faith tonight, we're reminded that we're to be walking by faith and not by sight. The Bible reminds us here that faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we have these wonderful examples of men and women of faith that God has recorded for us, that we would better understand what it means to live and to walk by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, again, we'll begin here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now I want to pause right there and just say the big mystery, or it's not a mystery for us, but the big question, you know, that a lot of people have is, you know, where did creation come from? It just evolved. And of course, they like to throw out the millions and millions and millions of years, which is just to try to confuse the simple-minded. I don't believe in those millions and millions of years. I believe we have a young earth compared to that, a few thousand years. But when God created, He created, I believe, in maturity. In maturity. That is, he put age in what he created. You know, he created a tree, and if you'd went and cut that tree down, you could have counted the rings and come up with a number. When he created Adam, he created a man. He didn't create a little baby. And created animals, they were fully mature animals. He created a world that had age and time already in it. That's the kind of world he created. And so, you know, it baffles the scientists, so-called scientists, but certainly that's what the Bible's saying there in verse 3, that he created it by his word, and that things which are... So God, let me just read again the latter part. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God created with time in it. You see what I'm saying? And so if he wanted something to look, you know, like it was old, he just put that in it. I mean, that's the way he created it. And so anyway, verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, verse 7 says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And of course that was a flood or rain that had not been seen yet. The world was way different before the flood. We'd never seen a flood, never seen a destruction of a flood or of rain. He'd never seen that. But the Bible says he moved with fear, prepared an ark, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And I love verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now we want to examine the faith of these four just tonight, and just try to look, have a fresh look at what faith is. And we again are we're commanded that we're to walk by faith. We're to be a people of faith. You know, the Lord didn't see a lot of faith when he was upon the earth. He didn't. There was very little faith. The Lord Jesus walked upon the earth. And he really found greater faith in the non-Jews than he did with his own people. He found greater faith with those that didn't even have the Word of God, those who didn't have the promises of God. He found greater faith with them than he did with those that should have had it. Amen? Which really, really, you think about that, you and I must be careful that we don't somehow lose that we're to be walking by faith. You know, we get so accustomed to things. We sort of get in a rut, you know, and a routine that we just, you know, we sort of have a religiosity about us. But many times we lose that walk by faith and just trusting God for really the impossible. You know, in fact, we should have a work of faith going on in this ministry right here. There should be a work of faith. That is, trying to achieve something that only if God would put His hand in it would it ever be accomplished. A work of faith. We ought to have something like that. And I'm praying God would open some doors, that we would step out in faith and begin some kind of ministry where we look at it in human eyes and we say we can't do it. Kind of like an old carpenter we used to have to do some work for us on the farm. And his name was Bond. He was a great carpenter. But you'd present a job to him and he'd say, it can't be done. It can't be done. And he'd be doing the job. He'd be doing it. He'd just get the work done. But it was almost comical. And he'd make that statement. But I'm saying we ought to have a work of faith that we'd say, God, unless you intervene, unless you equip us and enable us, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. That's a work of faith. But we're so guilty of not wanting to operate that way. You know, we like to see it, feel it, and touch it, and understand it, and be able to explain it. You know, we don't want to walk in that realm of faith. Well, you notice this list does not start with Adam. Adam's not mentioned here. Creation is mentioned, of course, that God created the world. But why is it that Adam's excluded from this list? Well, when in his perfect state, he walked with God. He didn't walk by faith. God came down and visited him in the cool of the day. It wasn't a walk of faith. He literally walked by sight. So we're talking about a faith, a believing in a God whom we cannot see. And we'll deal with that a little bit more in as we go along. But let's look first of all at Abel's faith. Abel, of course, the Bible says, gave a more excellent sacrifice in comparison to his brother Cain. And we know as we read the account in the book of Genesis that Cain, of course, brought the fruit of the ground and offered that to the Lord. And God really extended grace to Cain even in that scripture. If thou doest well, thou should be accepted, he said to Cain. Cain, you know better. You know that's not what you've been taught. You know that's not what I require. But yet he did that. Why is that? Well, it just certainly feels better to the flesh, doesn't it? We certainly want to feel like that somehow we're earning, you know, our privilege with God, or we're earning His love, or we're earning salvation. But it's not that way. Abel understood that faith, his faith, called upon him to believe that God was the sacrifice. It was God going to be doing the redeeming. It was God going to be doing the cleansing, and he had no part in it. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. It's a walk of faith. In fact, it's the same faith that we apply when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus as our sacrifice. The songwriter put it well when he said, "Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling." We don't earn salvation. We don't deserve salvation. We don't merit salvation. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." Somebody need to holler at Cain and say, "Cain, it's not of yourself. It's not of your deeds. It's not of your best." Our best, the Bible says, is filthy rags. I was looking over some notes the other day, and I'd seen where a fellow had preached for me, and my eyes fell upon his notes there, and it was, boy, it was good. Oh, man, that's good stuff right there. And he had said, now this has been a long time ago, he said, "Only three ways you're ever going to get to heaven. Only three ways." That caught my attention. That's already caught your attention too, hasn't it? He said, "Number one, die before you're accountable. Die before accountability." Now, we believe that. Amen? We believe that. We believe and trust someone dies outside of being accountable. Otherwise, knowing sin, choosing sin, that person is safe. Amen? And number two, he said, "You're going to have to be sinless. You're going to get to heaven, you've got to be sinless." Well, we know the Bible says they can't do that. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Got to be sinless, he said. But then he said number three. He said, "Trust and believe upon the Lord Jesus as your Savior." Amen? That's it. That's it. For sure. For sure. Abel's sacrifice really preached the gospel. His sacrifice said, "God, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to offer. It is not of my deeds. It is not of my works." Now, this is a faith that believes that God is the sacrifice. You remember Abraham expressed that kind of faith when little Isaac asked the question, said, "Now, Daddy, we've got the wood and we've got everything in order for the sacrifice, but we don't have a lamb. Something's missing." He said, "Daddy, I've seen you sacrifice before. I know how this thing works. And there's an element missing, and that's the lamb." And that's where Abraham, in his deep faith, his understanding of God's work, and he said something profound. He said something deeply doctrinal. He said, "God will provide Himself a lamb." It'd be Him. He's preaching the gospel. Amen? He's preaching the gospel. Said He will be the sacrifice. God will provide Himself a lamb. And of course, it was postponed till Jesus came. But the type was there. He looked, and there was the ram caught in the thorns. The thorns had him all caught and wrapped up around his head. Who's that sound like? The Lord Jesus. The Lord said, "There He is." So faith, listen, faith is believing God provides the sacrifice. And again, that's how we came to the Lord. That's how we're saved. We believe that God is the sacrifice. It's not anything we can merit. It's not anything we can work up or offer. It's not our deeds. It's not our church membership. It's not any kind of ritual that we go through. It's believing God is the sacrifice. That's Abel's faith. Cain brought the fruit, but Abel brought the blood. Amen? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. And he said this message still speaks. Look at verse 4. And he being dead, yet speaketh. You remember he died for his faith. Remember that? He was a martyr. Oh, Cain killed him. Rose up against him and killed him. And God said, I hear his voice of his blood crying unto me from the ground. That blood still speaks. Amen? Still speaks. A faith to believe God is a sacrifice. Then number two, we see the faith of Enoch. Now, Enoch is one of the outstanding characters in the Bible. Enoch, as we read about him in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we see that he lived a normal life like anybody else did, and then he had a son. And after he begot Methuselah, the Bible says he walked with God. Once he got that little boy in his life, he said, hey, I better straighten up. I better begin to seek the Lord. And he walked with God, the Bible says. And God raptured him from earth to heaven. He took him. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found. That's a picture of the rapture. The Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye, the last trump. The trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. God put a little glimpse of the rapture way back yonder in the book of Genesis. I like what Dr. Phillips said about it. He said, God did something back there in a small way that He's going to do in a grand scale one day when He raptures the church. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? I wouldn't bother me a bit if we heard the trumpet and we just begin to blast out of here. Amen? I mean, they have it all. They can just have it all. The lost world can just have it all. Have the time of their life, I guess. Just take me out of here. Amen? Come, Lord Jesus. Now, what is this faith? I want you to think about it. Because verse 5 and verse 6 are tied together. Put these two verses together and look at it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. By the way, they looked for him. That's what the Bible says. I mean, he was on the most, he was on the lost list, this missing person report. And so they searched and searched and searched and searched and said, we can't find a trace of him. It's just like he disappeared. They couldn't find him. The Bible says he was not found. That means they looked. They looked. I mean, I hope they'd look for us too, but they'd probably say, oh, good riddance. they say, Mike who? I don't know him. I don't remember him. He was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch's faith was a faith. Listen to me. Now, Abel's faith was that of believing God to be our sacrifice. Enoch's faith was a faith to walk with, fellowship with, listen to me, an invisible God. You might have been sitting on the porch when Enoch went by and you say, Enoch, who are you talking to? You're by yourself, and you, who is that you're talking to? Enoch said, well, I'm talking with God. An unbeliever might say, that guy's crazy. He's kind of nutty, talking to somebody invisible, communicating with an invisible God. Look at it. Look at it again, verse 6. For without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's a little nutty to be praying to something you can't see. Can't reach out there and touch Him. Where's He at? Look at verse 1 again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you bow your head and talk to the Lord, you're believing an invisible God. That you can't see Him with these eyes, but by faith you see Him. By faith. That's His faith. That's His faith to walk with, to seek after, to call upon, to depend upon a God you can't see. Are y'all with me on that tonight? Must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's faith. That's the faith of Enoch. You think about what is faith. Really, faith is really more practical than we make it. It really is. And then we move to Noah. Noah's faith shifts gears a little bit. Abel's faith spoke of a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Enoch's faith spoke of fellowship, walking with God, fellowshipping with God. But Noah's faith speaks of the wrath of God. You know, God's love is balanced by His wrath. God's mercy balanced by His justice. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. I mean, you go too far either way and you get out of sorts. You get out of whack. You say, well, God is loving. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. He is loving. But He's also just. God's a God of mercy. Absolutely. But He's also a God of wrath. Amen. Noah's faith warns and speaks of the wrath of God. The Bible warns us of not taking that truth too lightly. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You think about our nation. We've, for how long now, we've just pushed God out. And I'm talking about as a nation. We've just pushed Him out and pushed Him out. Try to deny Him, you know, try to ignore Him. Try to be so much smarter than Him. You know, we don't need the Bible, don't need to teach the Bible anymore. We're a lot smarter than that, we think. And one of the great judgments on a nation when God just begins to back away. God just begins to draw back. Say, why is all this stuff happening? Well, God's kind of drawing back. And here comes the destruction. You think about, God's not the author of confusion. Well, who is? Well, the devil is. The devil is. God is light. God's in the business of giving light, giving truth, giving understanding, but the devil's in the business of deceiving and distorting. Never in my life has there been such distortion and confusion about a disease or a pandemic as we're living in today. You can hear and if people believe, just a host of different things. And there's such confusion about the whole mess. And God's not the author of confusion. He said, "You think you're so smart? Let's see if you can handle this." He backs away. And we fumble and bumble and make a mess of it. God's wrath will not sleep forever. Dr. Rogers had a very gifted way of illustrating things with words. I wish I had a better gift to speak and illustrate with words. But one of the things he'd say is that the waves of God's wrath is beating against His damned mercy. One day that dam's going to break. It's going to break. Look at verse 7 again. By faith, Noah being warned of God. A warning. What was going on? Well, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Every thought and imagination of man's mind and heart was evil. Evil. God said, "I'm going to destroy man. It's going to wipe them out. It's going to wipe them out." But then He said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Their little spot on planet Earth was a man by the name of Noah, living in a cesspool of sin. And a little humble man, God giveth grace to the humble. And there was a little humble man by the name of Noah, calling upon God, begging God for mercy. And God said, "Okay, Noah, I'm going to give you a warning." The Bible tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he was a carpenter and a preacher. Who's that to remind you of? The Lord Jesus. The carpenter and a preacher. Also kind of reminds us of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was also a carpenter and a preacher. Building and battling and speaking God's truth. Noah's faith is a faith to believe in the wrath of God. In the wrath of God, which balances out His love and His mercy. Not only do we preach about heaven, we must preach about hell. Not only do we preach about God's grace, His mercy, His loving favor, we preach against God's judgment upon the wicked and upon unrighteousness. There has to be that balance. There's ministries today that refuse to deal with sin and ungodliness and hell. Well, those are false prophets. Those are false preachers. Noah's faith demanded to believe and warn about the wrath of God. Now that tells us we should be balanced. Amen? We should be balanced. Speaking of the truth, of God's love and mercy, but also speaking and warning of judgment and wrath to come. Of faith to believe in the wrath of God. And then let me give you one more about Abraham. We can preach all night about Abraham. But I don't know if y'all had supper yet. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. And then verse 9 is our key. We're going to focus on verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's faith was that faith that calls upon one to continue on the journey. Continue on the journey. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And we have a wonderful commentary upon the life and faith of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, look down with me in verse 17. Now the Bible says he journeyed, he sojourned. As a stranger, he sojourned in a country. And God said, I'm going to give it to you. But his faith looked even beyond that. That I'm looking for a celestial city. Now the promise, there's a lot mentioned about the promises that God gave Abraham. And essentially he said that his seed would prosper and inherit and be as the sands of the sea. And there was a problem. He didn't have any children. Sarah was barren, not able to bear children. And Abraham essentially said, God, that's all good and fine, but I don't have a child. But the Scripture tells us that his faith enabled him, empowered him, equipped him to just keep on journeying. In other words, his faithfulness. Just keep on journeying. Now let's read a few verses here in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I mean, he's believing this promise, but everything physically, naturally is saying impossible. Impossible. Look what the Bible says. But being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He's past the ability to have a child. It can't happen. Physically impossible. When he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But here's our verse, verse 20, he staggered not. Now you look that up, that word staggereth. And it means to what, now we use it as kind of a drunk man. Look at that drunk man stagger. But it means to waver, to veer, to not be steadfast. And the Bible says, oh Abraham, he didn't even stagger. That's talking about his faith. Now you say, how's that possible? He's journeyed all this journey holding to that promise. He started out, I'm sure, strong and vigorous and able. But now he's 100 years old and he's just shuffling along. But he's still believing that promise. He's still saying, God, I know you're able. I'm not able. But God, I know you're able. Look at verse 20. It's a great verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Isn't that amazing? God delights in impossible situations. Now we don't like impossible situations. Naturally, we don't like impossible situations. We want to say, yeah, A, B, C, okay, I see how it's going to work out. I see how all this is going to fit together. And God says, not too concerned about that. But brothers and sisters, when we get to a place where we say, God, I'm done. I'm finished. I can't. I'm not able. It's you, Lord, it has to be you. Amen. That begins to get into the area of faith. Amen. Amen? It's a faith, I'm telling you, it's a faith to keep journeying. It's a faith to keep walking, keep believing, keep trusting. I mean, the hair went from being gray to being gone. The back went from being strong to being stooped. The ability of his body was gone. He's 100 years old. But he's saying, God, I know you sure can. I know you will. I'm still believing. I'm still trusting, I'm still obeying, and I'm just still sojourning. That's faith. That's faith. Oh, listen. How many do begin to stagger and waver and lose that faith? Maybe it's a prayer that hadn't been answered in their life. Maybe it's a situation that didn't work out like they thought it would. You know, I told you about our dear friend Andy, who God called on to heaven, 42 years old. For a month and a half, they did a prayer vigil there at the hospital in the parking lot. Morning and evening, folks would gather and pray. Morning and evening, saying, God, please heal him. Please heal him. And God didn't. He did ultimately. Took him to heaven. Now listen, for some people, their faith will be strengthened, but others, it'll be weakened. There'll be some that'll stagger and say, we prayed and prayed, but God didn't answer our prayer. And their faith will be weakened. Now, where'd that come from? That's what the devil told God would happen to old Job. God don't give him everything he wants and watch his faith crumble. And God said, go ahead. Go ahead. I hope God don't never say that to the devil for me. Go ahead. Whew. How about you? Yikes. But listen to me. Our faith ought to be that strong. To just keep on journeying. Keep on walking. Amen? Keep on believing. I don't see it. That's all right. Just walk by faith. I can't get it done. That's okay. God can. You keep walking. You keep believing. You keep trusting that He's doing everything well. He's doing everything on His time, His purpose. Just keep on trusting. God, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but I'm getting old. You might have missed that. God said, I haven't missed a thing. You just keep believing. You just keep believing. Now, brothers and sisters, that's faith. Amen. To be 100 and saying, you know what? I'm going to have a son. I tried to shortcut it a few years back, and God said, no, don't do that. I want you dead. His body being dead. Unable. I mean, he was unable. God said, okay, now you're ready. It was all said and done. I said, God, I trust you. I believe you. You did it. I mean, that wasn't me. You did it. God rewarded that journey of faith. He'll reward your journey of faith too. He will. Don't quit. Bible says not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the instruction in the Word of God. Thank you for the examples in the Word of God. Help us, dear Lord, to be men and women of faith. Lord, to continue the journey you've set before us by faith. Lord, to realize that it's not us seeing it, but it's us believing you. It's not us explaining it, but it's us trusting you. God, help us tonight. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.